Welcome to Bible and Stuff, a podcast about the Bible
and stuff.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Tanner.
And as always, we got something to talk about. I don't know where I was going with that.
I didn't either. I was like, what do we always do after that? We do the intro and then we talk about something different every time.
Well, let me tell you what we're talking about today. You probably already know because we are in a series now and we explained it all last week. But today, we are talking about the second commandment of the Ten Commandments, or as we described last week, the Ten Words.
Yes, yeah. So we're talking about the second word today, the short version of which is, don't make any idols.
Yeah, I like it. But before we get into it, I am super intrigued. You like started to tell me this, but you wanted to share it until we were on the podcast.
Well, I could tell you the story or I could get your firsthand reaction just by telling you on the podcast. Well, you were talking about getting on a flight tomorrow. So we're recording this one kind of late at night. And I was like, oh, I had a late night recently, which was, so we live in Denton, Texas now. Most of my family lives in Southern Oklahoma, about 2 hours north. And about 6 o'clock, I just picked up the kids, got us some dinner. We were headed home to eat. And I talked to my mom on the phone. And she's like, we can't find your grandpa. Which isn't funny at all.
No, but...
But it was, I don't know why. It's funny now, which is good. Which means the story ends well. But it was
I'm just thinking in my head... You've talked to me about your grandpa before, yeah. And I'm just kind of curious, like, where could he go?
Sure. Like, yeah. So she was like, yeah, he left at 2:30 and it was 6 when I was talking to her. So I was like, well, that ain't good. This is bad. And so I dropped the kids off at my mother-in-law's and I'm like, I'll just drive up there. Like, they'll probably have found him by then, but in the case that they don't, like, it'll be getting dark. They'll need as many people as they can to go look for him. So, like, he was in his truck. He didn't just, like, take off walking. But he likes to kind of... They live out in the country. He likes to kind of drive around, piddle around, like, see what he can see on his land. Or, like, if there's a lot of oil field and stuff around there, he likes to see, like, oh, they're putting in some wells here. They're doing this and that. And so he went driving, and he... as apparently older people do sometimes, he just didn't take his cell phone with him. As opposed to us where it's like this, you know.
Yeah, it's stuck on you, basically.
Yeah, it's now part of our hand. He was just like, yeah, I don't need that. I'll leave it at home. And well, so a little bit of backstory that helps is he's 82 now, maybe 83. He just had a birthday. No, maybe he just turned 82. Anyway, unimportant, but it is important. He has liver cancer. He's kind of in the middle of. He has his ups and downs. He's going through some different kind of treatments thing. But ultimately, like, he's been really low energy lately, and he hasn't really been super mobile as far as, like, getting up to do stuff, which he used to always be. And so, I mean, first of all, just the fact that he wanted to drive around was kind of like, oh, that's good. And so I don't think, you know, they thought too much about it. I'm also not even sure he told my grandma. I think he was just like, peace, and walked out. And so then, like, 2 hours later, she tells my mom, like, hey, he never came back. His phone's here, so I can't get a hold of him. So it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody. Like, 70 people end up out there looking for him. There's, like, 2 drones flying overhead. What? Like, yeah. And, like, people are kind of breaking out.
That's like the whole state of Oklahoma, isn't it?
Yeah, seriously. People are breaking out all the stops to look for him, which is really a blessing. It's really kind of a cool thing. There's a lot of downsides in my mind to small town living, but that wasn't one of them. A lot of cool stuff happened. A lot of good people helped, which I really appreciate it. But the end of the story is they found him. He was kind of like on this old dirt road, like off on somebody's land, to look at where they had built some new oil field stuff because he's nosy like that, I guess. And it had rained the day before. And so I think what happened is part of the road gave out. And so his truck kind of slid into the ditch at like a 45 to the ground.
Oh.
Again, not the most mobile part of his life. And so he was like, well, can't get out now. If he had gone out one side, he would have just like landed on the ground. And if he'd tried to go at the driver's side, he would have had to like climb out. It just wasn't going to happen. Probably a good thing, because like if he had taken off walking, don't know how far he would have made it. So he just sat there. And he even told us, he was like, yeah, I would just like honk the horn a few times every so often. And one of the crazy things is they ended up talking to this guy who like lived near there. And they were like, hey, have you seen Porter? That's my grandpa's name. And he was like, yeah, I saw him a few hours ago. I heard him up there honking his horn. I don't know what he's doing. And I don't know how many questions they asked this guy, but I'm like, how long did you hear him honking his horn? Because he's been doing it for 4 hours now. And you never thought like, wonder what's going on down there. Anyway, golly, that guy. But the best part of the story for me was, he had these like three like mini Hershey's chocolate bars, like the ones that are just like one piece of a Hershey's chocolate bar in his pocket. And he was, he never ate any of them because he was like, well, I didn't know how long I was going to be there. So he's like rationing these mini Hershey's chocolate bars that he has, like that was going to sustain him for a little while longer if he had to really tough it out. Oh man, he was,
But he's home and he's good now.
He's home. They called me about half an hour before I got there and told me that they found him. But I just went ahead and drove and saw him and talked to him. And he was in big doo-doo for my mom and my aunt and my grandma. Obviously, they were all a little like, come on, man, take your phone or something. But he kind of had to like fight this big grin that was on his face, because now all these people were coming by to check on him, to say hi, you know, since they had been looking for him or since they saw everything. And so he was really enjoying the company and like telling stories and asking people and stuff like that. And so he kind of knew he was in trouble, but he was also like, this is great. I should get lost more often. So
that is
anyway,
awesome.
Yeah, it was quite the adventure. But hopefully I think he's grounded for a little bit. Hopefully we don't have that happen anymore.
Yeah. No, I would hope not. I know when you were saying he just kind of like up and walked out and went for a drive. My wife would murder me if we did that. If I did that. Yeah.
Sure.
Which brings us back to the Ten Commandments.
I was wondering. I was like, I don't think there's any way I could turn this in to the Ten Commandments. But hopefully you got a kick out of it. And now we're talking about the second commandment.
Now we're talking. So, all right, we'll reel it in now. But last week, I kind of mentioned this at the end of the episode. So last week we talked about the first commandment.
Yeah.
And discussed how it shall have no other gods before me, and how this week's commandment can often be confused to be like the same thing. Sometimes a lot of people think like, okay, well, why did they just repeat the first commandment and word it differently? But there actually is a little bit more to it than I think we give credit a lot of the time.
Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, it's safe to assume that if God says something twice, it's probably important. And when he uses different words to say what we might think is the same thing, maybe we should dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
So I think a great way to start with this one will be just to read it, and then we'll kind of talk about how they're different, and maybe at different points in the episode we'll touch on how they are the same, but mostly different. So Exodus 20 verses 4 through 6 says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image," which we often call idols, "or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments."
All right. So let's start to dissect this a little bit. You kind of already started to open up the first part of this by saying, when we're talking about carved images, that we would also call that an idol.
Yeah, and so I think that's the word we use more often. Maybe some translations have it directly in the verse there, but a lot use this language of like a carved image or something like that. But you've likely heard your pastor talk about idols in your life, and we touched on that a little bit last week even, like these things that we start to worship instead of God, or try to worship alongside God, and we know from the first commandment, that doesn't really work out.
Right. So how do these differ then?
So I think the framework we're going to kind of use, I think an easy way to explain it, is the first commandment really focuses on who we worship. So God and God alone and no other gods before him. But the second takes aim at how we worship, which is important when you think about it, because like if God is a certain way, then worshiping him in a way that's true to him is important. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying. All right, give me, you're a man of like metaphors and similes. Give me something to help bring this to light a little more.
Well, so I think this is a Matt Chandler thing that I'm ripping off. He probably ripped off somebody else anyway. But I've heard this example used before where he talks about coming home to his wife. So I'll use Lauren, for example, my wife, brown hair, brown eyes, like olive skin, gorgeous lady. I hope she's listening to this. But essentially, like if I came home and said like, baby, I just love you. I've been thinking about you all day. I just love feeling your blonde hair run through my fingers. And I just love like gazing into your beautiful blue eyes. Like it seems like I'm being very loving towards her, but like she's not happy with how this is going. And so I think that's kind of when we're talking about who we're worshiping versus how we're worshiping. Okay. I think that's what we're touching on. Like if certain things are true about God, that affects how we worship. Not to mention, he actually has a lot to say in the Bible about how we worship. And so we should probably follow those things.
We probably should. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break and then come back and kind of talk about some of those ways that we could be doing that. All right, guys, we will be right back.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the whole time we've been doing this podcast, we've been in a coffee shop.
It's crazy the amount of editing that we can do to drown out all of these crazy noises that you hear and just hear our voices. But yeah, Tanner is right. We are in a coffee shop, and man, does it smell good in here.
Yeah, we're just taking a quick break as this nice lady pours us some more coffee. I mean, you can hear them grinding some new beans in the back. It's a good place to do it.
It's great. And as you've probably noticed, Tanner and I have lowered ourselves to the point where we need to ask for money, both in a coffee shop and virtually, to support this podcast.
Hey, busking is a perfectly fine thing to do. But for people like you who aren't here in the moment, we have to give you another option, which is a virtual tip jar. So if you want to support us, you want us to be able to keep making episodes like this one, then you can check out the link in the description and drop us a few bucks, just like the people here. I mean, the study group over there was nice enough to contribute. Even the guy playing guitar, busking himself over in the corner. Super, super cool dude.
We must be the most annoying people in here. This guy's trying to play guitar and we're doing a podcast over him.
But, you know, we fit in wherever we go.
And who knows where you'll see us next week. All right, as we mentioned before, we are now back from the break, and we are going to be talking a little bit more about the who versus the how, and really digging into like the truths of God and how we should be worshiping him.
Here's where I think a good place to start might be. One of the things that is true about God that affects how we worship him is he is an invisible God, right? So we talked a little bit last week in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, how God is literally speaking these 10 words, these 10 commandments to the Israelites. So he's an audible God, but he's not a visible God. And, you know, there are some places where he reveals his glory to Moses and things like that. But you see how those turn out. Like, it's not something we can sustain. Yeah. Moses's face shone for days just after that tiny experience. And so God then says, okay, that's true about me. So how you're going to worship me is by not trying to make an image of me. I can't be represented in this visible way. I'm not a visible God. And so he commands that we don't try to represent him, because then we're actually breaking not just the second commandment, but the first. Because anytime we try to represent him, we aren't representing him, right? We're making something other than God. And obviously, if it's not God, it's even lesser than God.
Well, and this kind of makes me chuckle, but at the same time, it's like, man, we fall into the same trap. Like, how long was it before the Israelites do exactly what God is like asking them not to do?
No, yeah, I mean, so, and like the big story I think you're hinting at is the golden calf, right? Like, I think they make it like 10 chapters before they literally make an idol, which, like, we'll get into that, because we don't really like bust out the wood and the whittling to like make ourselves images, but you'll see this definitely still applies to us. And so, sure, they don't make it very long before they immediately break this commandment. Well, let's talk about that. So what happened was Moses goes up to the mountain, and eventually I think they just basically get impatient. And they say, you know, he may never come back. He's been up there a while. That God guy is scary. And so we want a God that will go before us. So they turn to Aaron. It's Moses' brother. It's kind of like, well, like, what are you going to do about it? And long story short, they gather up all the gold, and there he makes this golden calf. And I love this. The Bible makes a point to say that they like use tools and chisels to craft this calf, which is important because later Aaron's like, I just threw this gold in the fire and a calf came out, which is not true, Aaron. You lied. But anyways, yeah, they make this calf. They like build an altar for it. They start worshiping this thing. But this is something I looked into when I was studying for this, and there's this really interesting place where they're talking about the golden calf. They make the altar, and Aaron says, tomorrow shall be a feast for the Lord. And the Lord, when you see in your Bible, it's like the small caps, L-O-R-D, is a representation of God's name, which if you've heard it pronounced, is Yahweh. And there's a long story about how we get that word. It actually comes from four Hebrew consonants, blah, blah, blah. We're just going to say Yahweh and keep rolling for now. And so if you see that, you start to think like, okay, he made a golden calf, but he was actually using that as a representation of God. He wasn't saying, like, this is our new God. He was saying, like, behold the golden calf, Yahweh. And so really quickly we start to see, like, that thing's a horrible representation of God.
Yeah.
God is mighty. They made a cow. They didn't even make a bull. They made a baby cow. Like, they didn't pick something mighty or majestic. It's small. God is big. It's finite. I mean, it like it's going to end at some point and be crumbled into gold dust. God's never going to end. Like, there's so many ways it doesn't well represent God, because there's no way it could.
Yeah. Well, I guess every time I read a story like this, I think to myself, I'm kind of backtracking a little bit here, but I think to myself, man, with the experiences these guys have had, like, how can you not just listen?
Sure.
And then I hear myself saying that, and I'm humbled, and I'm like, Glenn, you have your word. God has told you these things. Why can't you just listen? And I just...
Seriously.
Yeah, it's really humbling when I have those thoughts cross through my mind.
I wish I could think of the specific example, but I remember this feeling recently of catching myself in one of those moments where I had just like prayed really hard for something and God came through. Oh, it was selling our house in Phoenix and moving here. Like, we got a great offer on our house in Phoenix. It worked out really well, and everything just seemed to roll completely smoothly. And then we got here, or we were preparing to come here, and we made offer after offer after offer after offer, and none of them were getting picked. And so I immediately went from like, praise God, I never thought our house would do that well when we sold it in Phoenix, to being like, God, why have you forsaken me? Why can we not get a house that we want in Denton? And so, yeah, it's so humiliating, really, how quickly we can go from like, God, you're the best, you really came through for me, to like, hey, where's that golden calf? I'm gonna worship that thing instead. So I think you're right. Like, it's easy for us to point and jeer at the Israelites, but we totally do the same thing.
I had just one more example, and I don't even know if it's going to make the cut in the podcast, but I thought I'd share it with you. Earlier this week, I had come across this article with something that I was like just struggling with. And I'm like, man, how am I going to explain some of this stuff to my kids? Like, I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start praying right now. And I started praying, and I was like, God, please somehow give me the wisdom and understanding on how I can talk to my kids about this. And like, clear as day, he said, read your Bible. And I was like, yeah, oh yeah. Like, you have given me instructions and wisdom and how to deal with these things. And you're right. Like always, just like my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, that plays perfectly into this idea of an invisible God, but an audible God, right? So the Bible is saying, don't make idols, because you cannot represent God with visuals, because that's not who he is. So anytime we do try that, we end up worshiping a God that's not Yahweh, that's not the God of the Bible. So whether that's a calf or a car or a person or whatever, they can't accurately represent God. And so therefore, we're not worshiping the one true God. But exactly what you're saying, he has given us his word. He has spoken, and he has revealed to us who he is in words. And so that's how we can worship him. We can look and see what he says about himself. And this finally, this made a verse come to mind. It finally like gave me some light on the verse that often had been hard to understand, which is in the New Testament, it says we live by faith, not by sight. Right? So we don't live by what we can see, because God is invisible. We can't even see him, but we live in faith through in God and what he's done. And that's taking that verse out of context. But I think that idea still applies to what we're talking about. And to what we're talking about is read your Bible.
Right.
And that's going to challenge you in places where you have made your own little gods to try to replace the one true God.
So I know that we have been talking a lot about like physical idols, but I have also kind of heard understanding of this verse in the sense that like we try to like define God in certain ways, and like it's like we're putting him in a box, basically. Last week we were talking about like God setting boundaries for us. There are times I feel like we try to set boundaries for God, which is that's totally really backwards.
Yeah, like saying, you hear this stuff all the time, like, well, my God would never blank, or it's like, hold on, is your God God?
Yeah.
Is your God the real God? Because as soon as you start to say, my God, you have to make sure that lines up with scripture, because if it doesn't, you're imagining some other God. And you're right. We don't often struggle with making physical things. Like, very few people are like carving up a little totem and setting it on their desk and you know, giving offerings to it. But all the time we are worshiping our own idea of mm-hmm. God, or our own idea of what God should do for us. And when he doesn't, he's not living up to our expectations. So we have issues with him, and all that stuff is idol worship. All that stuff is trying to replace God with something we like better, trying to replace him with something more palatable.
I was just going to say, I think a lot of times we, and I've felt circumstance to this, maybe not as in depth as I'm about to explain it, but I think fear of man can play a huge role in this. I think our culture that we are in, I'm saying our culture, but any culture that you are in, has its own values and morals that have like come about over time. And if what the Bible is saying does not align with your cultural views, you will, because of fear of man, you'll play into culture more than you will truth.
Yeah. No matter what culture you're a part of, Christianity is countercultural. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some overlap, you know, especially if you're in a place like America, where our Constitution was at least somewhat influenced by the Bible and a Christian ethic, there's going to be some overlap. Like, we don't think you should murder people, whether we're Christian or not. Stealing is illegal, whether you're a Christian or not. Now, I mean, there's also some legal forms of stealing, but all that to say, like, there's definitely a whole lot of not overlap that you have to be more obedient to the God of the Bible than you would be to culture's general consensus on what is right and what is
wrong. So you would say then that that is an accurate portrayal of this verse then?
Sure. Yeah. I think all of that is about ridding your life of idols. I mean, we talked about that a decent amount last week, and I think that's where you can see, you know, that these first two commandments are tied together somewhat in the way that we talked about last week. If you don't break the first one, you're going to be fine with the rest. And this one is just a reiteration in some ways about you can't put anything before God.
Yeah.
Well, let's work on moving further along in what we have here and getting closer to wrapping this thing up by talking about something I'm planning on touching on every week that we talk about a Ten Commandment, is essentially this commandment and how it relates to Christ.
Yeah.
Right? So where does Jesus
play into it?
Play into the commandment that we're looking at. This week, I think, is one of the coolest ones in that Jesus is very, in a very real way, the actual embodiment of God's word, right? So we talked about God's not visible. We're not making a visible image of him. But Jesus is a visible image of God, but he's also the embodiment of God's word. If you look at John 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so it is God's word made manifest. Those are big words, but it's God's word putting on flesh and bone so we can see it. So not only can we read about it in God's word, but like, this is a real dude who walked the earth, and we can see in his actions the word of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I think that John 1 like chapter can be confusing if that's like your first brush with like figuring out who Jesus is, but that to me helps put it in a place in my mind that I can start to I start to connect some pieces here, and things are making sense now that this is who God says he is as a person. And so we are starting to see God in Christ. And again, talking about God being made visible, if you continue on in the grand story of the Bible into the last book, Revelation, you see that same John writing his revelation, and he says over and over again in this big vision that he's getting of the future, he's getting this vision of new heavens, new earth. He says over and over again, and I saw, and I saw, and I saw this, and I saw that. And so he's pointing toward this future of faith being made sight, right now we have faith. Eventually we're going to have sight, and Jesus is this foreshadowing of this sight that will eventually be fulfilled in the new heavens and the new earth. Anyway, I could nerd out about that for a long time, but I think it's a really cool tie-in that we got just from, hey, don't make idols.
Right, right.
All the way to what happens at the end of the story.
So now I feel like we have a pretty good grasp on how the first commandment and the second commandment both interact with each other, but also how they're different. So
yeah,
we're talking a lot about now, like, God's image and who he is. We've talked about Jesus being the Word made flesh and being that visible thing that we can see as God. What other ways can we see this kind of living out right now?
We've already talked about this, so you're setting me up a little bit, but that's okay. I'm going to take it and I'm going to hit it right off the tee. Although I did strike out in T-ball one time, which is really bad. I was not good at baseball. I'm still not good at baseball. Always more of a basketball guy. And even then, I mean, not the best. Anyway, so that's an aside. Just file that away to make fun of me later. There is one other thing. God, if you are familiar with your Bible, made in his image. As soon as I say that, you go, oh yeah, God made man in his image, right? So there is one other way God is trying to make his glory manifest in the world, and that's us, yeah. Right? He made man in his image. Now, of course, that's broken by the fall. We are now cracked mirrors, yeah, who don't perfectly reflect God to the world. But as Christians, it's that act of becoming better and better reflections of Christ. So kind of, I mean, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. It's essentially the same application point as last week, which is so Jesus has made a way that we can follow the law, but now we're in the sanctification process. Like, if we're a Christian, we're just continuing to push into Christ-likeness and be better reflections of Christ and God into the world. So there is one carved image that we should be working on. There is one thing that we should be crafting, and that is how we have to work to look more like Christ.
I love it.
So I'll end on this last little piece that I'm stealing from a book by Edmund Clowney, who talks about how Jesus transforms the Ten Commandments. Does a great job. Super sharp guy. Probably a book that we'll have in the recommended resources section in the description. But he takes this story of Jesus in the New Testament that I think we often use to talk about taxes and other stuff. And I think he gives it a new meaning when we start to look at it in terms of ourselves being made into the image of God. And so when the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, hey, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus is like, I see what you're doing here. I know you're trying to get me. I know if I say yes, you're going to be like, oh, you worship Caesar. And if I say no, you're going to be like, hey, you broke the law. And he says, well, show me the coin in your pocket. And they take it out and they hand it to him. And he says, whose likeness is on here? And they say, Caesar's. It's got his face on it, dude. And he says, okay, give Caesar what is Caesar's and give God the things that are God's. So there is a point to be made about taxes and all that other stuff when he's talking about Caesar, but that piece at the end, give God what is God's. We are made in the image and likeness of God, and we are to give ourselves to him. So we spent a lot of time talking about the first half of that, but I don't know if we spend enough time thinking about what the second half of that really means for the way we live our lives.
Man, that's really, I've never really picked that part apart before. Yeah, I said it right. Okay, it just sounded weird.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I like that.
Yeah, Edmund does a good job. He's a pretty sharp cat.
Well, I really like where we're going with this series, and I love the fact that we are tying Jesus into it each and every week, figuring out how he is fulfilling all of this. And I think this series is going to be really good. Join us next week as we talk about, you guessed it, the third commandment.
Yeah. We'll break this up at some point. So it may be the week after next. Yeah. I don't know. We got to look at our calendar. But it, the next time we talk about the Ten Commandments, we're not doing them out of order. No. It's going to be the third one.
So, guys, we hope you have enjoyed this as much as we have. If you want to give us feedback, Tanner, how do we do it?
As always, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. That's at Bible and Stuff. Or if it's at Instagram, it's underline Bible and Stuff. Hey, at Bible and Stuff. Give us the real name at Bible and Stuff. You don't really need it. We Someday. Need it. Anyway, so that's completely besides the point. Or you can reach out to us directly by emailing us at hello@BibleAndStuff.com.
We'll catch you next week.
Peace. The Bible and Stuff podcast is a production of Bible and Stuff. We do more than just podcasts, so if you want to know more about something we've covered on the show, just visit our website at BibleAndStuff.com. Our show is hosted by Tanner Britt and Glenn Brand, and our theme music is by The Sing Team. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.